Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester. We've got four more days, and no, not until Christmas, but until you all win your fantasy championships. And let's get real, that's basically Christmas, isn't it? Today we've got Mike Tagliere of Pro Football Focus on to help you prepare for those title games. We're going to be talking about Week 16 rankings, and of course you can always tweet me specific questions at Bobby Fantasy Pro. Hey Mike, thanks for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me. It's crazy that we're here at the end of the season. You know, a lot of fantasy championships will be won this week. I know there's a couple that'll go next week, but this is the big week, and this is the one where I want to, you know, give the best advice possible. So I'm looking forward to trying to do that today.
So Mike, I've got to say, I'm seeing all this talk about Tom Brady being the front runner for NFL MVP and Ezekiel Elliott is the top back. If I had a ballot, I don't think either of them would be top two at their position for me. How would you pick?
Well, it's definitely not Ezekiel Elliott. I don't think he's even, honestly, I don't think he's a top three running back in the game, let alone number one. David Johnson would be my pick if there was one running back. But if I'm picking an MVP today, it's got to be a quarterback. And for me, it's Aaron Rodgers. You know, you talk a lot about Matt Ryan, and I understand why someone would want to vote for him. I understand why people would want to vote for Brady. But the way I see it is, if Aaron Rodgers is not right, this team doesn't win any games. Like, they don't have a chance at making the playoffs. And it's kind of been that way for a long time with Aaron Rodgers, and just this year their defense has suffered more and more injuries to the point where it's like, it's a joke. You need an elite quarterback just to hang tight. Like, Rodgers is having one of his, you know, one of his biggest seasons statistically wise this year, and the Packers are just barely inching their way into the playoffs, and it's only because of him. If you were to take him out and throw in a backup, this team is literally, they may be a three-win team.
I definitely get the Aaron Rodgers thing. For me, he's number two right behind Matt Ryan. I just look at Matt Ryan, and besides Julio Jones, he really doesn't have anyone else to pass to. Aaron Rodgers has some pretty talented guys. Maybe they're talented because of Aaron Rodgers, but still, over 9 yards per attempt. That's only been done like 6 or 7 times in NFL history, and it's what Matt Ryan is doing this year. The interceptions are low. I'm just so impressed with him. Who are those running backs ahead of Ezekiel Elliott for you, though?
I would say that LeSean McCoy is one of the running backs that I would say is better. I'd also say that Le'Veon Bell, like, those guys are the reason that the Steelers seem to be like, you know, in the playoffs every single year. And it's because of players like Le'Veon Bell, where Ben Roethlisberger he's simply just a bad quarterback on the road. Like, it's not even exaggerating. I'm not saying he's just not as good. No, he's a bad quarterback on the road. And the reason that they've even remained, you know, a decent team on the road is because of Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell is so versatile. They use him in so many different ways. But again, running backs are, you know, Adrian Peterson, we've seen it for a long time with him with the Vikings. You know, just because he's great didn't mean that the Vikings were going to be a great team. You know, the reason that the Patriots are great is because of Tom Brady. The reason that the Packers, you know, can be great is because of Aaron Rodgers, you know. So that's why for me, wide receivers, running backs, they shouldn't really win the MVP. Although I do understand the argument that, you know, they are the best at their position. And that's where it's like, it's a weird thing to talk about just because you don't want to leave out entire positions. But Ezekiel Elliott, the reason I wouldn't say him is because the offensive line is just so dominant. You know, it's one of the most dominant offensive lines we've ever seen in football. And for a rookie to walk in and do what he's doing is impressive. Don't get me wrong, but Dak Prescott is just as impressive to what he's done for that team.
Now I'm with you. I love LeSean McCoy, but isn't this Buffalo Bills offensive line every bit as good as Dallas's offensive line? I mean, I know you guys rank offensive lines and all the players over there. It's a great thing that you guys do. I love it. But I'm curious, where does this Buffalo offensive line stand for you guys?
What's crazy is that we actually have Dallas down at number three behind the Tennessee Titans and the Atlanta Falcons. We have Buffalo is number nine, actually, in run blocking. So, you know, yeah. And a lot of that comes into the fact where they've had some starters on the offensive line miss some games. So it's like a cumulative ranking. So that could be a little skewed just because of the injuries that they've suffered on the offensive line. But then again, earlier in the season, the Cowboys had some of those similar injuries, too. But I would say for me, the top two offensive lines in football for me are the Dallas Cowboys and the Oakland Raiders, and I think that's why you've seen Latavius Murray have a solid year as well.
And he's pretty much mediocre, right?
Pretty much. I don't think he's anything special. He's just finding himself.
He's not better than Todd Gurley, is he?
I don't think so. I think Todd Gurley, and you know, it's weird because coming into his career, you know, I remember the first time I sat down with Evan Silva from Roto World, and we were having, you know, a few drinks, having something to eat, and I said to him, I said, you know, is there a chance that people are overrating Todd Gurley a little bit? Because I don't know if I see what everybody else sees. He's like, no, man, you're overthinking it. Like, don't even, like, no, he's the best prospect to come out since Adrian Peterson. And when he started taking the league by storm, I was like, okay, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I did overthink it. And then as the year went on, we slowly saw him, you know, come back down to earth. And then this year, my concern with Todd Gurley, and I talked about it on a podcast yesterday, is that I don't see his situation getting any better anytime soon. They've invested so much into Jared Goff. They almost need him to be like fantastic. They don't have cap room. They've extended, Tavon Austin for number one wide receiver money. They've made so many bad decisions. They don't have picks because of what they traded for Goff. And for that reason, I have my legit concerns about Todd Gurley, but I do think he's an above average NFL running back. I just think that people kind of overrated him coming out of college.
It's crazy, right? Jared Goff is just not very good. I mean, I guess he has a chance to be mediocre, right?
No, that's the crazy thing is people said Goff coming out of college was supposed to be the pro-ready quarterback, the guy that could come in and run your offense, run an NFL offense, whereas, you know, Carson Wentz was the guy that was supposed to be the developmental guy where you had to wait a couple years to see what he truly was going to be, almost like a Jay Cutler or something like that, where we still don't know with Wentz. He's regressing, but I don't like to see quarterbacks start in their first year in the league. I'd prefer them to sit back and actually take the game in, but, you know, they were getting so much heat in LA that they kind of had to go with Goff, I guess, and they're seeing the nasty effects of that. I root for the best for the kid. I do think that he can be a competent quarterback, but it doesn't look like he's going to be a superstar.
So you've got those top three guys, and I gotta say, I love what I'm seeing in Robert Kelly, Jay Ajayi, even Tevin Coleman. Do you think any of them can leap up to that category in the next year?
Well, Tevin Coleman has Devonta Freeman in his way, and Devonta Freeman is so good. I've compared him to like a Ray Rice of today's game. And with the way that they run, the way they're using the passing game, Devonta Freeman's just, he's so good. Tevin Coleman, it's not to say he wouldn't be decent on another team, but when you're on the wrong side of a 60-40 timeshare, maybe even 70-30 some games, I tend to fade away from Tevin Coleman. But Jay Ajayi, I'll tell you this, Adam Gase is someone who I was upset when, you know, the Bears lost him to Miami in the offseason, because Adam Gase ran the best offense we've seen in Chicago in a long time. And to see him, you know, as the season goes on, you saw Ryan Tannehill start to get more and more comfortable. You've seen Jay Ajayi emerge as that running back we all thought. Now, his knee issues, they do say that within 3 years he may be done playing football because of his knee issues that he has, but he definitely looks legit out there. And this offensive line, the reason he struggled lately is because they played some really, really, really good run defenses, and he's missing two and sometimes three offensive linemen, and they're not bad offensive linemen either. Brandon Albert's really good. Laramie Tunsil has looked to be a great draft pick where they got him. Pouncey, the center, he's been missing time. So I do like Jay Ajayi. I would like to see him used more in the passing game. Damian Williams has stolen some touchdowns, but yeah, Jay Ajayi is among the league's workhorses, and he's definitely someone I could see taking that leap next year.
Now, Mike, moving over to the quarterback position, I'm looking at Philip Rivers. Right now, he's in the top 10 for ECR, so almost every expert saying he's worth starting this week. But look, they said that last week against Oakland, which was a great matchup, and now he gets Cleveland this week. His number one wide receiver is what, Dontrell Inman? So even against Cleveland, I'm not so sure I want to start Philip Rivers. What do you think?
Yeah, I would definitely, like, if you're down to a decision where you're trying to decide between Philip Rivers and somebody else, that means you're looking at that borderline QB1 range. The only quarterback I may start over him is Dak Prescott, if you're in that range, but I do love Rivers. Despite the fact that he's throwing a lot of interceptions, he has thrown at least two touchdowns in each of the last seven games. He's thrown three touchdowns in two of them. You know, his wide receiving core is starting to get healthier. Travis Benjamin was hurting. You had Tyrell Williams, who may still be ailing. You know, we've seen him struggle the last couple of weeks. Fortunately, Inman has stepped up. You know, Hunter Henry stepped up. Antonio Gates is still trying to get that touchdown record, where we only have two games left here. So I don't know if it's really going to happen, but this is probably the week they have to aim for, because Cleveland's allowed some massive games to tight ends. Cleveland, dating back to last year, they've allowed multiple touchdowns in 19 of their last 24 games. So, I think Philip Rivers is one of the few options this week where you could lock him in for at least 250 and two, with potential for more.
Now, Kirk Cousins had a great matchup last week and didn't do very well. So a lot of people who had him aren't in their fantasy championship game. But I've actually had a lot of people asking me, should I start him against Chicago this weekend? I'm not really sure. What do you think, Mike?
It's a really fair question. And a lot of people will say, you know, well, Mike, it's recency bias, the reason you'd say not to start him. And here's the thing. Here's my dilemma with Kirk Cousins is that, yes, he had a bad game, but that doesn't erase the fact that this would have been a tougher game in Chicago to begin with. So the Bears, obviously, me being from Chicago, I'm a huge Bears fan, so I know the team pretty well. The Bears have played a lot better at home this year. The three wins that they do have come at home. On the road, they're allowing tons of points. I think it's 27 points per game is what they're allowing on the road. Yes. Whereas at home, they're allowing just 19 points per game. And that's got a trickle down effect into the quarterback. So on the road, quarterbacks average just above 20 DraftKings points against them. Whereas when the Bears are at home, they allow just 11.5 points per game. Yes. So the only quarterback who had a really good game was Marcus Mariota in week 12. Now, it's important to note that Mariota had a lot of rushing that game. And on top of that, Jarrell Freeman was out. That's when he was suspended. One of the Bears' top linebacker. He's ranked number three by PFF. He got suspended. So Jarrell Freeman is coming back this week. It's his first week back from suspension. The Bears secondary has played better. It's going to be freezing cold because it's Chicago. You know, we don't know if there's going to be wind involved. He doesn't have Jordan Reed. And one of the things that I actually came across in my research this week, and Kirk Cousins was actually in one of my fades of the week this week, because with Jordan Reed, he's played 27 games. Without him, he's played 17. He averages a full yard less on his yards per attempt. He averages 60 yards per game less. With Reed, his touchdown to interception ratio is 1.8 to 0.7, whereas without Reed, it's 1.3 to 1.24. So it's a massive difference. And even if Jordan Reed plays, do we think that he's going to be okay? I mean, we saw him before he threw a punch that he's kind of walking around holding his shoulder. And
I'm not playing him.
No, I wouldn't be playing him either. And that's,
he only played 29% of the snaps.
Yep. And that's what concerns me. I mean, he got ejected for punching a guy with a helmet on is just the stupidest thing you could do in a football uniform. And but, you know, he's facing a possible suspension, I guess. He shouldn't be playing anyways. So for me, yeah, Kirk Cousins is just a borderline QB1. And I'm not feeling great if I'm playing him either.
I'm definitely not either. Now, in this next range of quarterbacks, we've got all the running quarterbacks. You know, we've got Cam Newton against Atlanta, Jameis Winston at New Orleans, Russell Wilson face Arizona, Dak Prescott face Detroit, Marcus Mariota at Jacksonville, even Colin Kaepernick at Los Angeles. Which of these quarterbacks do you like better than the rest? And which of them are you not really so comfortable with?
I like Dak Prescott a lot. I like a lot. I've actually moved him up my rankings. I think I have him right by Philip Rivers. I haven't decided which one I like more, but he's definitely in my top 10 quarterbacks this week. And, you know, some people are worried about Dak, and I don't really get it. Because the two teams he really struggled against were the Giants twice. And by the way, everybody struggles against the Giants. They're the team that allows the second fewest points to quarterbacks. And then the other team he struggled against was Minnesota, by the way. Yeah, at Minnesota. And they're the team that allows the third fewest fantasy points. I know what Andrew Luck did last week, but that was also without Harrison Smith, their starting safety, who is like, it's kind of like Earl.
He's one of the best in the league.
Yeah, him and Earl Thomas. Like, people underestimate what those safeties mean to a defense, because those cornerbacks, what they do is they rely on those guys over the top. They develop a connection. And if there's any miscommunication, they can be beat over the top. So Dak Prescott going against the Lions, they are at home. It's a primetime game. They'll have plenty of rest for this game. The Lions have now lost 2/3 of their starting cornerback trio over the last few weeks. Quandre Diggs wasn't playing great. So that wasn't a huge loss, but it's still a downgrade. And then Darius Slay pulled up with a hamstring last week in the middle of the game, caused him to leave. He's having an MRI this week, which means he's not playing. It really is, because Darius Slay has ranked as a top 10 cornerback over each of the last two seasons by PFF. So for me, Dak Prescott, this matchup, Detroit has only allowed 3 rushing touchdowns all year. So this is a game for Prescott to shine.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. I've definitely got him in my top 10. I don't understand why ECR has him all the way down at 14. I expect that to creep up a little bit this week. Now, one player that I'm really intrigued by, and really it's only if you need a home run at the quarterback position. I know Tyrod Taylor hasn't been putting up big numbers. He's got 3 games of over 24 this season so far, but he goes up against Miami, and Miami gives up a lot of big plays. Now, Buffalo doesn't have great reception receivers, but they do have guys who make big plays, Sammy Watkins, Marquise Goodwin. And so maybe, just maybe this week, Tyrod Taylor goes nuts. And if you need to take a chance against a great team, I think he might be a pretty good free agent pickup if he's still available in your league.
Yeah, it is a little risky. And the reason I'm a little gun shy on Tyrod Taylor this week is just because it's basically a Bills team that's playing for nothing. And you have a Miami team that's playing for the life of the playoffs. Like, they still have a legit shot to get into the playoffs. So it's a weird thing. But Tyrod Taylor is also playing for a contract, because there was talk before last week that they were going to bench him, which is just stupid. It's the dumbest thing. It's idiotic. Like, honestly, he's a guy that, you know, the Bears fans are wondering if Matt Barkley is our future quarterback. And, you know, meanwhile, the Buffalo Bills are upset with Tyrod Taylor. He's not your problem. Like, your defense is the problem. Like, why?
That's crazy. He's a starting quarterback in this league. He gets 17 or 18 million on the free agent market.
He really is. You have to worry about his safety, because, you know, those rushing quarterbacks that are not built like Cam Newton, you have to worry about, you know, them missing time because they may take some big hits. But he's managed to avoid them the last 2 years. This matchup is great. The Dolphins have allowed 13 passing touchdowns the last 6 weeks. But as we know with Tyrod Taylor, he's not a guy that throws a whole lot of touchdown passes. It's more like we want his rushing totals and things like that. Buffalo is actually pretty good against the run. Or Miami's actually pretty good against the run. They do allow a lot to receiving back. So I could see McCoy actually catching a lot more passes than usual in this game. Like I said, my only concern there is just that Miami is going to grind this one out with Jay Ajayi, and they limit the play of the Bills, and we already know that Tyrod Taylor's volume is very limited to begin with. So that's my only concern there.
Now, Mike, moving over to running back, we've got Doug Martin that I'm looking at. He's sitting right there at 22 for ECR, so startable in the flex, definitely startable in deeper leagues. But this matchup against the Saints is not that easy, and I know he's getting a lot of work, but he just doesn't seem that good to me. What do you think? Is he worth starting, or is it too risky for you?
He gets enough work, that's for sure. Now, I want to say the number is he hasn't averaged over 3.6 yards per carry in any single game this year. He's graded negatively by PFF. And honestly, we've seen so many different versions of Doug Martin. We've seen the rookie year version, where it may have been a bit overrated due to 3 large games in the middle of what was a decent season. But if you take, there was like 3 game span in there, which accounted for like 45% of his production. And then you saw the bad Doug Martin his next year. Then you saw hurt Doug Martin. Last year, contract year, he steps up and he plays well. And now he's back to, you know, this team was playing better. And I hesitate to say this, but they were playing better with Jaquizz Rodgers. He was doing a lot more for the run game than Doug Martin's done. And did he have a decent game? Yeah, it's because he scored a touchdown the last time they played. So Doug Martin is the type of guy, if he doesn't score, he literally is going to kill your fantasy championship hopes. And I know a lot of people were trying to trade for Doug Martin because of these 2 New Orleans matchups. But ever since getting Sheldon Rankins back, they have been like a different defense coming into last week, which, by the way, like everybody's David Johnson dominates everybody. So before that game with Sheldon Rankins, their first round pick that they got back after injury with him, they'd only allowed 3.17 yards per carry. Whereas before they got him, they allowed 4.5 yards per carry. So the defense has changed drastically with him in the lineup. Doug Martin, I have a feeling that Charles Sims, the healthier he gets, the more they're going to use him, because Doug Martin's just not getting the job done. And it was my concern when they signed him in free agency. I said, Charles Sims seems like he's more than competent. I don't know why you're spending all this money on the running back position. You don't really have to. I know that the Raiders were trying to get Doug Martin, and I think that they lucked out by missing on him. But people don't know. The Saints, like, this is a stat I threw out on Twitter earlier in the week. The Saints, they have not allowed a running back to rush for more than 85 yards this season.
No way. Are you kidding me?
Nope. Nope. People, There was one. It was, that's what my stat was. It was Devonta Freeman in week three. Outside of that, no running back over 85 yards.
Wow. That is unbelievable.
It is. Yep. It's the touchdowns that have killed them. And that's where you kind of have to, if you're starting Doug Martin, you're just hoping for a touchdown plunge. Because if he doesn't do that, he's going to be useless.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Then we've got Kenneth Farrell for the San Diego Chargers, who everyone thought was going to be awesome in a great matchup last week. And then he was just horrible. Now he gets a great matchup again this week against Cleveland. But I mean, no one knows what to make of this dude. Some people have him at 12. One expert has him all the way down at 53.
Wow. I have him at number 20. I didn't know if I was being generous or not. I have him right in that Jeremy Hill, Bilal Powell range right now. And
ECR has him at 24. So yeah, you're a little bit high on him, but not crazy.
I think the reason I am a little bit probably higher than people is just because it's still the Browns, and I don't really believe in Ronnie Hillman. And I know some people may have Ronnie Hillman ranked toward like a lot higher than I do, because I have Hillman down at 47. I may move him up a little bit, maybe move Farrow down a little bit as I kind of look at it a little closer, but I just don't believe in Ronnie Hillman. Kenneth Farrow, the issue that I have with him, ranking him this high, I guess, is he's not really a good pass blocker, which means he may come off the field when, you know, they're in a passing situation. But again, it's the Browns. I don't think that they have to worry about throwing the ball too much this week. So I just think that he's locked into at least 15 touches. Even if Ronnie Hillman gets 10, I think he's locked into 15. And if you get 15 touches against the Browns, you're definitely worth at least a flex start.
Now, oddly, Deion Lewis had 18 carries against Denver. I don't think anyone saw this coming. What do you think about him this week against the Jets?
That was something crazy. I really don't know why LeGarrette Blount wasn't getting carries. I know he was not very productive on the carries he did get, but the Patriots, what they do the best is they attack an opponent's weakness. You know, sometimes as a fan, you sit there and you watch and you're like, God, why are you guys not doing this? Like, everybody knows this. Like, everybody knows that, you know, the Bears struggle against this or the Lions struggle against this. You know, the area where Denver has struggled is against the run. So they exploited that last week. They just didn't do it with LeGarrette Blount. They did it with Deion Lewis. Giving him that many carries tells me that he's healthy. And in a Jets matchup, the Jets are one of the top 10 run teams, like the run stopping teams. So you saw it last time they played. LeGarrette Blount didn't really do much in that game. This is a game where Tom Brady's going to go nuts. And you essentially want the passing options. So Deion Lewis, he's a risky flex. He has upside. We know that because he's a rare case where somebody that's ranked outside the top 25 can score two touchdowns. He's one of those guys. So there's a risk reward there built in for sure. And with the running back position, the way it is with guys in that flex spot, like Adrian Peterson, Justin Forsett, Kenneth Dixon, I would take my shot on Deion Lewis before those guys.
You know, I even think I'd start him over Doug Martin and Thomas Rawls for Seattle.
Well, I mean, I understand it. Rawls has got a crazy, like an awful matchup against a really good run stopping team. And we saw Rawls this past week, like everybody. So that's one of the toughest things, you know, is when we analyze everything, we look at it and say, okay, everything here makes sense. Last week, the Rams, it made sense for Thomas Rawls, who destroyed Carolina for over 100 yards and two touchdowns, to do just perfectly fine against a Rams team that they were going to dominate throughout the game, right? And it just so happens that the offensive line just decided they didn't want to block. He had
34 rushing yards, and he had 34 yards after contact.
Yes, the number that PFF came up with, it was 34 yards he had, but he had, it was, I think it was 42 yards after contact. His average, on average, he was getting hit a half a yard behind the line of scrimmage. And that's my concern. Atlanta or Arizona, the one thing that they have been doing pretty consistently good at all year is stopping the run. So Thomas Rawls for me is just a dicey flex option.
Now, what about Ty Montgomery? He was exceptional last week, but this week he gets that Minnesota defense.
So last week, Ty Montgomery was probably my favorite play of the week. And so with PFF, we do a waiver wire show every single week. And I've been saying for a while, grab Ty Montgomery, hold on to him, because it's only a matter of the time before Mike McCarthy wakes up and realizes this guy actually fits our offense. He can do what we want him to do. We run better with him in the offense. I didn't get why they weren't playing him. So the reason that I finally sold out and said I'm all in on Ty Montgomery this week is because James Starks was inactive. They're not going to trust Kristen Michael with a complete workload. So I was like, I'm all in, right? And if James Starks is somehow inactive again, I know that his concussion that he had was resulting from a car accident that he was in. But even before that, I want to say he played less than 10 snaps the prior 2 weeks. So for me, I'm in on Ty Montgomery. I know at Fantasy Pros, we have to rank him as a wide receiver. I have him inside my top 20, which I'm probably pretty aggressive, but going against Minnesota, this is where you beat that team. The perimeter cornerbacks of Xavier Rhodes and Terrence Newman have been so good this season. Like in coverage, they are allowing just basically 5 yards per target.
Wow. So no way.
Like, yeah, it's an insane number. Like basically saying if your wide receiver gets 10 targets, which is a lot, he's going to end up with 50 yards. They've only allowed 3 touchdowns. So I have my concerns for Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson this week, but the area where they've really been struggling ever since their bye in week 6, they've allowed close to 4.7 yards per carry. They've allowed 6 running back touchdowns during those 9 games. Harrison Smith being out obviously changes things. He used to come up in the box a lot. So, you know, it's a good matchup. Actually, like I went through and looked at it. So over their first 6 games, they didn't allow a running back to top 56 yards rushing. But since that time, Jordan Howard, 153. Theo Riddick, who doesn't carry the ball much, he had 70 yards in a game. Robert Kelly, 97, 103 to David Johnson, 86 to Zeke. Then you had 101 to Gore last week. I mean, yeah. So you see the totals and it's just like Green Bay. Like this is one of those things where as a fan, you sit back and you're like, OK, we know where you should exploit. Do you know this? And, you know, if it was the Patriots, I know they would. Mike McCarthy, I have a little less faith in, because
I think he's a pretty good coach.
The thing is, so basically being from the NFC North with the Bears, I see a lot of Packers that I admire what the Packers do. I admire Aaron Rodgers. I've gone on record as saying that I do believe he will go down as the best quarterback to ever play the game.
Good for you. Good for you for saying that. I totally agree.
No, and I stuck with him. I took so much crap back. It was early in the season when he was struggling. People are like, oh, yeah, that's a good call on your part. Tom Brady's the GOAT. And now those guys are coming back to me and apologizing, saying, you know, like he was just going through a slump. And Ty Montgomery, you know, what they should be doing this week against Minnesota, if I knew that he was locked into the role he got last week, I would be ranking him as a top 10 wide receiver this week. And I wouldn't be scared to do it, but I have him down at 19 because there are concerns about James Starks coming back, you know, about Mike McCarthy not actually using him in the way that he did last week. Like he broke the PFF elusive rating last week, like broke it off the charts. Like it was something ridiculous. But yeah, he's super talented. And, I'm curious to see where he gets drafted next year.
That's a really interesting thought. I don't know. I don't know how high I'd take him, but I'd imagine he goes, what, 6th, 7th round?
I would think so. Well, a lot of it comes down to what happens with Eddie Lacy, because he's a free agent. Do they decide to bring back Eddie Lacy? I don't know. I don't know if that's in the cards right now, because Mike McCarthy and him, apparently, you know, they weren't on the same page and they were worried about his weight and stuff like that. And, you know, we may never see Eddie Lacy in a Packers uniform again. So if Eddie Lacy is gone via free agency, I think Ty Montgomery vaults into the top 5 rounds, maybe even top 4, depending on what the Packers do in the draft. And because, you know, their offensive line has gotten a lot better this year. They're not Dallas or anything like that, but they're getting a lot better. So yeah, it's definitely something I'm going to be paying close attention to this offseason.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I would not bring Eddie Lacy back, pay him all that money when you've got a guy with 5.0 yards per carry so far this season. What's really crazy, though, is that we're talking about Ty Montgomery as a top 15 running back. A running back! That's just absolutely nuts. If you would have said that 6 months ago, I'd be cracking up.
It really is. You know, I've had Ty Montgomery stashed in a couple dynasty leagues. And, you know, when I talk to you about Aaron Rodgers and how I feel about him as a quarterback, what I've done in my dynasty leagues, I had stashed Davante Adams. I'd stashed Ty Montgomery because I always felt like once Jordy and Randall Cobb were done, I just want the next guy in line because it really doesn't matter. You saw James Jones, you know, Jeff Janis was reliable in a couple games. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers will make a wide receiver viable. So, you know, those are guys that you want to target. And, you know, if the Packers draft wide receivers, you know, even if they're behind all these guys in the depth chart, grab them because they may become fantasy relevant in a big way, you know, like Davante Adams this year.
Man, all these Bears fans listening have to hate you right now.
I know they are. But the thing is I admire talent and people tell me that I'm a Bears hater sometimes, but I'm really not. I'm just overcritical of my team, and they just haven't lived up to the expectations that I would set for my team. And you know what's crazy, Bobby, is that I'm having a son in the end of January, right? And my wife,
congratulations.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. My wife asked me, she's like, what are you excited to teach him? And I said, one of the things is like fandom and just being a pure fan again, because me, sometimes, like, you know, where I'm at in life, I overanalyze things. Like, I think about the Bears winning a game, you know, this season, and I think this is killing our draft stock. Like, stop winning games. Like, I don't want them to win right now because I want a higher draft pick more than I want to win this week. I'm patient. I know what we have to do with the franchise. Whereas, you know, when you're a kid, I grew up just rooting for my team. I didn't worry about that stuff. It was great when your team won on a Sunday. It was great when, you know, the Bulls or the Sox or whoever I was rooting for, it was great when they won. And that's the purity of being a fan. That's kind of what I miss. And I can't wait to kind of have that with my son.
Oh, man, I don't even know how to follow that up. What am I supposed to say now, Mike?
No, it's tough, but it's like one of those things that as soon as she asked me, I immediately knew. I was like, man, I wish I can go back to that time where I just didn't overanalyze things.
That's really cool, man. Now, Mike, moving over to wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, I've been getting a lot of questions about him. He's been really bad lately. He's dealing with an injury. And this week he goes up against the Packers, who have been a lot better lately. But it's the Packers, so he should have a great game, right?
Well, we know that he dominated the Packers the last time he played them, and that was when they were healthier on defense. In that game, he had 9 catches for 182 yards and a touchdown. Now, the thing is the offensive coordinator has changed since that time. Stephon Diggs isn't being used the way he used to. He's being used more out of the slot, which, honestly, that's a way to attack the Packers, so I'm fine with that. My concern with Diggs is the fact that he's got another injury that popped up. You know, the Vikings staff sent out a memo to the media saying that he had a concussion, and everybody's like, whoa, what happened? I thought it was another injury. And they sent out a correction now saying it's a hip injury. So now he's got a new injury. Basically, Stephon Diggs, when he's been off the injury report, he's been dominant this year. When he's on the injury report, he has been mediocre at best. So I do have my concerns. He's going to, coming into this week, if we see him practice, you know, for me, he's becoming more and more of a dicey wide receiver 3. We know he presents upside. So if you're deciding between someone like Stephon Diggs and, say, like Malcolm Mitchell, I may go with Stephon Diggs. But it's getting into that territory where you really have to pay attention to his practice reports going forward.
I'll tell you what, Mike, Stephon Diggs is really good. Mm-hmm. And where he's going to be drafted, that value could win you a fantasy championship next year.
Yes, 100%. And like, he's going to go forgotten if he like finishes this year hurt, like he's kind of going through right now. If the Vikings somehow struggle, and I know it's a possibility that they don't make the playoffs if they continue to lose. So if you know, he doesn't shine in the playoffs, you know, all those things, if they fall into place, people are going to forget a little bit about Stephon Diggs. And the question becomes, do the Vikings, are they going to go back to Teddy Bridgewater, or is Sam Bradford going to win this job? Like, that's, I guess, the question you have to ask yourself as a Vikings fan. And for me right now, I don't know. Like, if you were asking me which one I'd prefer to see Teddy. But at the same time, I think Sam Bradford has had a rough go since coming into the league, because he's never had an offensive coordinator for more than 2 years. And it's the same thing with Jay Cutler, where these guys don't have consistency. And are they ever going to become who you thought they would be without any consistency in this league? No, you have to perfect an NFL offense. So Stephon Diggs, yes, he's definitely someone who's going to be probably under the radar next year if he continues this downward trend to end the season.
Someone who's going to have the opposite situation next year in drafts is Malcolm Mitchell. He's finishing the year strong. He's going to have a lot of hype. He only had one reception last week against Denver. How do you think he does this week against the New York Jets?
It's obviously an issue when you're trying to figure out which wide receiver is going to get it from Tom Brady. It could be Chris Hogan. It could be Malcolm Mitchell. It might be, who knows, Martellus Bennett this week. But what I will say is that Tom Brady has dominated the Jets over the last few times that they've played in Foxborough. You know, when they played them earlier in the season, I had said to be a little weary about Tom Brady and DFS because when he visits New York, he tends to struggle a little bit. And he did, but I'm totally on the other side this week where I'm saying start Tom Brady like wherever you can. The last two times that he's played the Jets at home last year, he totaled 355 yards, two touchdowns. 2014, it was 261 yards, three touchdowns. This Jets defense has not gotten any better. They've almost given up. They've now allowed it's five tight end touchdowns over their last three games. So this could be a Martellus Bennett week. It could be Malcolm Mitchell. None of it would surprise me. So he's in that high upside wide receiver three conversation.
And then after Malcolm Mitchell, I'm staring at Kenny Britt in ECR. And most people are saying he's startable at the flex position. And he's facing the San Francisco 49ers, who's the worst against the pass, worst against the run. They're just horrible all around. And it's really funny because they shut out the Rams in week one. So just imagine without week one how bad they would look. But Kenny Britt, he's been reliable lately, and it's a great matchup. So is he startable? I still don't know. I don't like Kenny Britt this week, really.
So it's kind of that scenario where it was I think it was week 12, where me and JJ Zacharyson, we were having a conversation on Twitter, and he brought up saying people need to forget about Colin Kaepernick's talent and just look at his fantasy production and stardom. And I said that he's one player that I let my personal evaluations get in the way of feeling comfortable because I feel like he's going to have a game where you're just like, he totally is terrible. And it just so happened that he was against the Bears that next week. And I was like, he's going to have one of those games and we're going to say, oh yeah, that's why you don't start Colin Kaepernick. And it's not Kenny Britt that I'm saying this about. I'm saying this about his quarterback, where if Jared Goff starts, it might be like where if you start Britt and he throws up maybe 2 points and you're just like, you go, why did I trust a wide receiver with Jared Goff as his quarterback with how bad Goff has looked over the last few weeks? That's my concern with him. Now, San Francisco, I mean, everybody has kind of overcome that. But if you look in two of the last 3 weeks, the quarterbacks, so Matt Ryan, 23 attempts, Matt Barkley only threw 18 attempts against them. Granted, that was a snow game. But I think this is a game where LA tries to grind it out with the run. And I think it's one where they should succeed. So Kenny Britt is he's definitely in the as a wide receiver three, but I think he's a lower upside wide receiver three in this matchup where they don't really need to throw a whole lot.
Now, being a Bears fan, you're pretty close to this situation. What do you think about Cameron Meredith? He had a good week last week, obviously, but I'm not really so sure that I like him this week against the Redskins.
I actually do. I actually might put him over someone like Kenny Britt. They're close in my rankings, where the reason I like Cameron Meredith a little bit over the last 2 weeks, he's seen a ton of targets and a lot of those targets are coming from the slot. And, you know, if you know anything about the Redskins, basically you're looking at Josh Norman probably shadowing Alshon Jeffrey. I don't think that the Redskins, like from a logical standpoint, can say, you know what, Josh Norman, we're going to leave you at left corner and you'll see Alshon about 50% of the time. And the other time, you'll see DeAndre Thompson. You know, no, that doesn't make sense at all. So for me, I think it's Josh Norman on Alshon Jeffrey. And we've seen the Washington defense. They have allowed, I think it's 13 passing touchdowns in their last six games. I think that's the stat. Where Cameron Meredith would probably be the logical one. I think this is another game where the Bears try and grind it out on the road with Jordan Howard, because he should be able to dominate Washington. But Cameron Meredith definitely is interesting when you've seen the way that they've developed this kind of chemistry that they've had to, because it's obvious that Jay Cutler didn't throw to Cameron Meredith. And then even once Barkley took over, he wasn't throwing to Meredith either until Marquise Wilson got hurt. And then Josh Bellamy kind of pulled up hurt a little bit. And then he was just like, okay, now I got to start throwing to Cameron Meredith. And it's really worked out. So I think he's earned the trust. So for me, Cameron Meredith is actually a pretty good wide receiver three this week.
Now, looking at tight ends, I mean, it's ugly all over the place, but the top eight seem pretty much set in stone. That includes Cameron Brate, Kyle Rudolph, Zach Ertz, Jimmy Graham. You said you kind of like Martellus Bennett, and I get that. What do you think about Antonio Gates in this narrative here? Would you start him, or are there better guys behind him that you like?
You know what's crazy is I'm not even kidding. I'm looking at my rankings right now because I pulled them up just so I knew where I had the players, and I've ranked Antonio Gates over Jimmy Graham this week. And I'm actually in this flex league championship where it's like we're all the like Jake Seeley organizes it. He gets everybody together, all the guys in the industry, and he hosts these drafts. And I'm in the championship against Pat Thorman, and I have Jimmy Graham on my team. I really don't want to start him. I have CJ Fedorowicz. I'm debating it. I don't like Jimmy Graham at all this week. You know, as you've seen Tyler Lockett kind of emerge, you've seen Jimmy Graham's numbers start to decline, and Russell Wilson himself has been in like very not Russell Wilson. I don't really know how else to explain it. He just looks very uncomfortable in the pocket. A guy that's usually calm, collected, moves around smooth. They're playing against Arizona. This is an Arizona team that has not allowed a tight end more than 53 yards this year. They have allowed just one touchdown, and that just came to Deion Sims the other week. Jimmy Graham played them back. It was that Monday night game where it was a tie, that 6-6 game. And Jimmy Graham had a season high 10 targets that game. He turned it in for 5 catches and 53 yards. So I'm not excited about Jimmy Graham. I think Antonio Gates, this is if they really want to get him the record, I think this is the week they do it. I think this is a week where Antonio Gates can catch 2 touchdowns. And I mean, the Cleveland Browns, they've showed, Charles Clay last week, Tyler Eifert, 2 touchdowns before that. And if you go back earlier in the season, they allowed Martellus Bennett, 3 touchdowns, Jordan Reed, 2 touchdowns. So this is the team they should aim for it. He's only 3 away from breaking the record, 2 away from tying. Phillip Rivers did say at the beginning of the season, that's a record they really do want to get him. And without Melvin Gordon, I think that's who they go to in the red zone. And I've said that for the last 2 weeks, but this is the matchup to do it. So I love Antonio Gates this week.
You know, I get it that Jimmy Graham has a really rough matchup. Arizona is probably the best against tight ends, and he's had 2 straight bad weeks, including Los Angeles last week at home. But in his other home games this season, we're talking 14 points, 8 points, 22 points, 10 points, and 12 points in standard fantasy leagues. That's really good. So I've got to expect him, even against a great matchup, to have a pretty steady, reliable week.
Yeah, I have to trust him to get in a decent game. That's the only thing I can hope. And on top of that, Arizona has gotten worse as a defense, especially in the pass game, where, you know, to start the season, they were holding seemingly every single team under 17 points. But as of late, Arizona, their defense is just on the road. They're actually allowing 29.7 points per game. So that's what I'm holding my hat on. I'm hoping for a touchdown. That's what I want out of Jimmy Graham. If he can score a touchdown and get me 40 yards, I am happy.
Now, after these tight ends, there's another tier that I'm really not excited about. They're all kind of clumped together there. Eric Ebron, Hunter Henry, Ladarius Green, Jason Witten. Do you like any of these guys, or do you dip even lower to maybe a Charles Clay for Buffalo, who was pretty good last week?
I'd probably go Witten, the highest of them. I just think he's the safest bet. And like when you're going to the championship, the last thing you want is to get a 1 or a 2 point performance out of your tight end, because that could just drown your team. Jason Witten against Detroit. Detroit allows, it's the third most fantasy points to tight ends on the season. There have been, I want to say it's 9 tight ends to score 12 or more PPR points against them, where it's just safety. You know, I mentioned the fact that Detroit is now suffering some losses at the cornerback position. They may be forced to drop linebackers back more in coverage, safeties to come up. I don't know what they're going to do to combat that against the Cowboys, but Jason Witten is a very safe option. I think that he's somebody that you could rely on for 5 catches, 50 yards. Whereas Ebron, if you're looking for upside, I suppose, but the only worry that you have about Detroit, you worry about Matthew Stafford's hand, because once he hurt it against the Bears, he didn't look the same. We know he struggled against the Giants, but it was still the Giants. But the Cowboys, their opponents averaged just 61 plays per game. So I think it's rough to rely on Eric Ebron. You know, you talked about Hunter Henry. If I believe in Antonio Gates, I have to put Hunter Henry on the back burners. Fedorowicz, the concern with him is that Tom Savage, we don't know if that's his safety valve. We know it was for Brock Osweiler, but will he be trusted by Tom Savage? Now, Savage targeted Ryan Griffin an awful lot. So you would think that maybe it's the system that you know, navigates towards the tight end position, and that's good. So Fedorowicz, I'd probably have him over Ebron once I'm guaranteed that he's starting, because I want to say I saw earlier that he cleared the concussion protocol. But yeah, they're all in that dicey area where they're just outside the tight end one range. But Fedorowicz is probably someone who's a little bit safer option than someone like Ebron.
Now, moving over to defense special teams to close it out, I'm looking at the San Diego Chargers here in the top 10 in ECR, and I'm not so sure I see it. I mean, I know they get Cleveland. I know they force a lot of interceptions, but what do you think about them, Mike?
Yeah, I do like their defense. Any defense going against RG3 or Blake Bortles, I'm going to try and start him if possible. So yes, I did a streaming piece for PFF and I wrote up about the Chargers. I do like them. Another one of the teams that I liked a lot that some people are overlooking. So if they're available, it's probably rare that they are, but coming into this week, they were only 45% owned, and that's the Rams defense.
There you go.
The Rams going against San Francisco, like they're a defense that you should like. They're one of my top ones for the week. I looked at the 49ers offensive line from their center, their right guard and their right tackle. So their entire side of the right line, including the center, they rank in the bottom five or bottom 10 at their position. Whereas that's the side that Aaron Donald and William Hayes are going to line up on. And that's going to be massive. Like Colin Kaepernick is going to be running for his life. So I think this is a game where the Rams as a whole, as a franchise, they come back home. And after that embarrassing loss to Atlanta the last time they were there with Jeff Fisher, that caused him to get fired. And so for me, I think this is a good homecoming for the Rams. And I think that they actually beat the 49ers this week. So I like the Rams defense better than San Diego, but I do like San Diego's defense an awful lot, though.
All right, Mike. Well, that's all the questions we have for you this week. It was a fun season having you on. Always fun to talk to you. And I'm glad we had you on for this fantasy championship week because you really know your stuff. I know you put a lot of work in. So thank you for coming on and good luck to you this week in the Flex Play Championship.
No, absolutely. I appreciate you having me on. I know I've been on a couple times this year and it's been a blast. And I look forward to next season.
Absolutely, Mike. We'll be looking forward to chatting with you again. Thanks again for coming on and happy holidays to you and your families. And for those of you listening at home, happy holidays to you and your families as well, and good luck in your fantasy championships this weekend. We've got one more show coming for you this week. It's the DFS show for your Christmas weekend. So make sure to tune in for that one. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football.
I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.